This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 22nd of May, 1962. The title of this lecture is Mist with Holtz. This tape is 64 minutes long.
Lecture 2, St. Hill Special Briefing Course, May the, what did you say it was?
22nd.
I get so mixed up on this planet's time. I don't know this planet's time at all. 80-12. English weather. This is a lecture on the subject of mist with Holtz. Now, there's a long and involved bulletin on the subject, which I haven't got in my hand, but some of you may have. And this has to do with several bulletins, amongst them HCO Bulletin of May the 24th, also HCO Bulletin of May the 21st, and HCO Bulletin of May the 22nd. Last two relatively unimportant. Now, you're going round and round about this proposition of TRs and how you ask for this and that and exactly how you do this. And this bulletin of May the 24th talks about Q&A. And there has been a great deal of misunderstanding about Q&A because there wasn't a real hot communication on what Q&A was. See, there's been a lot of talk about Q&A, but a real hot thing. Now, it sounds like, when you read this bulletin, that I knew what Q&A was all the time, you see, and I'm talking to you, it doesn't sound this way, but you could take it. I was talking to you, you dullard, why didn't you know this? Well, the truth of the matter is, there's at least a third of this data, probably the most important third, was unknown. And I just recently discovered this thing. And the term Q&A fits in gorgeously if you interpret it as questioning the PC's answer. So it really ought to be Q and A. No D on the and. Question and answer. Well, if you apply that principle, question and answer, throughout here, you get all three types. You get double questioning. Well, that's the PC says something and he gives you a reply to your question and then you question his answer. Okay, well, of course, that's no acknowledgement. That's just a setup for an ARC break. And Q&A also would be changing because the PC changes. In other words, you run a process on the PC, and then the PC answers up this process nicely and neatly by changing, you see. And right in the middle of the change, because he's changed, you change. In other words, you give the PC what he's giving you, you see. But you, again, are questioning the fact that he's changing. His response to the process is being questioned. And then the next thing is, following the PC's instructions comes under this. Now you've got a total reversal of the whole thing. And because the PC obviously knows far more about his case than we do, or something of the sort, don't you see? Why, therefore, it's always best, you see, to do what he says. In other words, that Q&A hardly is the questioning of the PC. That is a Q&A of me. Okay? That's questioning my answers to his case. That's kind of stringing along both. An amusing way to put it. We got the answers. If you know them and you can apply them, why, you'll get there. And if you keep finding holes in the line, why, we'll find some more that we didn't even know existed. But basically, an auditor must stay in control of the auditing session. There is no doubt about this. Well, the way an auditor stays in control of the auditing session is to stay at cause over the session and put the PC at cause over his case. And if we don't stay at cause over the session, the PC cannot stay at cause over his case. He goes to effect. Because, you see, we're raising the PC's causativeness by making the PC confront. And if we don't make the PC confront, the PC will just obey his bank. And his bank says, don't confront. Now, a full cycle of action must exist with an auditing command. A full cycle of action. And you can't have a muddy cycle of action. Well, this puts a tremendous responsibility on the auditor to ask the right auditing question. You say, what should I be running on you today? You have asked a wrong question. You can't ask wrong auditing questions. You can say, have you had a motivator lately? And that is a wrong auditing question. So there are two conditions which can exist here. Is a wrong auditing question and a failure to let a cycle complete itself. You can do these two things, both of them quite deadly. Wrong auditing question. Have I missed a withhold on you? Now, we didn't know this was wrong a short time ago, but it is quite wrong, because the PC can answer it with a motivator response. You've managed to dig that up for me. PCs were never ambitious enough to do that for me. They just took the easy route and did what I want. But it was found by experience it was easier to do that. But answering with a motivator has happened in many cases. So you mustn't ask a middle rudiments or a rudiment type question which permits the PC to give a motivator response. Because the PC is then throwing the end rudiments out. Now, you mustn't throw your end rudiments out. This is the wrong auditing question. This is also part of the wrong auditing question. You mustn't permit the PC to throw his end rudiments out. You've got to keep his end rudiments in. And if you look over the end rudiments, you will see there are several that can go out. And if any of those end rudiments go out, the PC will go out of session. So if you ask an auditing question which permits the PC to let his end rudiments go out, you cut your throat. Now, let's get the middle rudiments in by throwing the end rudiments out. And then we've got a nice dog's breakfast. Let's say, in this session, have I missed a withhold on you? Yes. My PC, I've been sitting here thinking how mean my PC has been to me in the last few sessions. Oh, man, you've had it, because unless you're in for a Q&A. Now, to keep the end rudiment from going out, this is the problem you've posed yourself. To keep the end rudiment from going out, you've got to Q&A. You can't permit the cycle to be finished. He just got through damaging his own PC. Now, these two things have to be held in balance, don't you think? This is a real crazy one. By asking a wrong auditing question, you will inevitably throw yourself into a Q&A. Because you've got to question the PC's answer. You say, has anybody been mean to you lately? And the PC says, oh yes, yes, Yes. Herbie's been mean to me, and Reggie's been mean to me. All my fellow students have been mean to me. I'm not talking about any particular student. All right, you've just thrown the end rudiments wildly out. Now, suppose you correct this. Suppose you ask some equivocal thing, like, have I missed a withhold on you? Yes, I was sitting here realizing that Mike has a deep sadistic tendency. Well, you've had it here. Now, what have you done, you see? You ask a question which was equivocal. The PC gives you an answer which throws the end rudiments out. Now, the only way you can correct this is with a Q&A. You can't buy this answer. This is the auditor's dilemma that I am giving you here. You can't buy this answer because you've thrown the end rudiment out. You would question the answer in any event, even if you said promptly, in this session, have you damaged anyone? The PC would still realize that his answer had been questioned. See, the auditor's dilemma. You ask a wrong question, you will Q&A every time. So you've got to ask the type of question. Well, I'm not giving you now words. I'll give you the principle back of such wording. You must ask a type of question which makes a Q&A very unlikely. I will not use the word impossible. Now, you can judge whether or not the wording of a middle rudiment or a prep check question or anything else, you could judge whether or not a question you're asking the PC is right just on that formula alone. Is it one which will lead to a possibility of having to question the PC's answer? And if it is, then it is, to greater or lesser degree, a wrong question. Because he's going to give you a response which you then must question. You're going to have to question his answer. And then he's going to feel like he's not acknowledged. And then he's going to feel like he can't talk to you. And then he's going to go out of session. And there goes all your beginning roots and all the end roots. Now, that's where you should direct your consideration of what you were doing with the PC. You must not Q&A. To prevent Q&A, you must ask the right auditing question. What is a right auditing question? One that will produce an answer you do not have to challenge. That is the perfect auditing question. A question that will produce an answer from the PC that does not have to be challenged or qualified in any way by the auditor. You mustn't question an answer. Now, here's a perfect Q&A, in case somebody came in late and doesn't have a copy of the bulletin. Here's a perfect Q&A. We run into Joe. We say to Joe, "How are you, Joe?" And Joe says, "Awful." And we say, "What's wrong?" Well, that's very socially acceptable. You'll hear it up and down the high roads and byways in every language, including the Chinese and Scandinavian. Everybody does it. It's social machinery. It would be unsympathetic of us not to do it. We ask a question. We say, "Well, have you had a good day, Bill?" We meet Bill, you know, and Bill says, "No." Inevitably, we have to amplify the thing. See, so we say, "Well, what happened?" That's a Q&A. A question species answer. Correct. This is correct. "How are you?" "Awful." "Good." When you get an answer like that, it is much more polite to say thank you. Jim, the funny part of it is, even in social concourse, the fellow will feel better if you handle it that way. He told you how he felt, so give him the cheery act, ma'am, the cheery act. All right, now let's take the auditing question. Now here's where auditors tie themselves not just into knots, but double carrick bends, bowlins on a bite, and other unlikely cask hitches, and so forth. We're doing rudiments. We say, do you have a present time problem? Yes. Well, what is it? Flunk, 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 flunk. He answered our question. So therefore, there's something a little bit phony with the question. Okay, that question is not the perfect auditing question. Because it isn't perfect, it leads us into the Q&A. Now, the best question, of course, would one which would require him to tell us. So you would have to add to it, and if so, tell me what it is. You don't always run into this problem, but the proper non-Q&A response is, do you have a present time problem? PC says yes. You say thank you. I will check it on the meter. So therefore, the slightly offbeat question leads us into an inevitability of a Q&A, because we would be prompted to say, do you have a present time problem? Yes. And the auditor would be prompted to say, yeah, well, what is it? Hey, wait a minute, the guy did answer your auditing question. Your answer question is, do you have a present time problem? You cut his comm, we'll throw him out of session. You've thrown the remaining rudiments out, don't you think? The trick of keeping rudiments in is not throwing the others out while you're getting one in. And in view of the fact that there are more you are not working than the one you were working, the probability of your doing this is great if you don't know this rule about the perfect auditing question and what a Q&A is. You can throw these things out wildly if you don't. Auditing is, of course, what you get away with, and you don't run into this in extremis. Most times it goes off just fine. You say, do you have a present time problem? The fellow says, yes. I had a fight last night with my auditor. Your proper response to that is good, or thank you. The Q&A response would be, what about? And that just throws a comm straight out the window, you see, because it's an incomplete cycle. You have not bought the PC's communication. The PC will go out of session, and rudiments start shedding out of the session like a white dog when you're wearing a blue suit. There you are. You've had it, don't you see? Now, auditors do these others, such as changing because the PC changes. An auditor does this constantly after it's been called to his attention, just should be shot. I mean, there's no other cure for it. I see them keep it up, you know. Actually, it tokens tremendous impatience. That is all. This auditor is so anxious to do something for this PC that he's got to do it all in the next 10 seconds. And therefore, he won't even run the full bracket. He'll do something like this. Actually, he's trying to help the PC like mad, usually. Think of a problem you could confront. Think of a problem you could confront. Think, how are you getting along in that process? Think of a problem you could confront. Think of a problem, how are you getting along? Do you have problems now? You clear yet? Oh, well, we'll have to do something else. Let's see. Invent a problem. Invent a problem, that's best. How are you doing? You clear yet? Well, maybe we shouldn't be running problems at all. Let's get down to something more fundamental. You used to talk about your mother an awful lot. Let's see. Now, What has your mother done to you? Thank you. What has your mother done to you? Thank you. What has your mother done to you? Thank you. What has your mother done to you? Thank you. We don't seem to be getting any place here. What has your mother done to you? Well, let's skip that. Do you know auditors actually have done this? I'm not just joking, something that has never existed. You see it less commonly that way. More commonly, they will change from session to session. They won't flatten what they did in the last session because it's much better what they've thought of today. You see? So that type of thing, the auditor just simply needs training, but basically needs some confidence. This auditor will also go off into extraordinary solutions very easily because he doesn't have any confidence in the ordinary doing anything because he's never done it. And as far as following the PC's instructions again, you get a PC who is blasty, who is upset, who is misemotional, and so forth, and a lot of auditors just back out of it, and then they'll do what the PC wants them to do. And it just about kills the PC. That's the usual source of that. We're not worrying about that right now, however. We're worrying about this most basic and fundamental Q&A, for which we do have an immediate and direct cure. The first cure is always ask the right auditing question. The right auditing question is one which prohibits a Q&A. There is no perfect right auditing question. You actually can get along with relatively sloppy ones. Like, do you have a present time problem? Nobody's ever run into this very seriously on present time problems. Yes, the PC says, but it's a bad auditing question. Because it can be replied to so that you have to say, well, what is it? Of course, that's a Q&A. PC answered it. Now you pretend that the PC hasn't answered it, but the PC did answer it. Well, the PC gets the idea that he hasn't answered it, so there, if he hasn't answered, you don't think he's answered it, then he knows what position he's in. He knows he's not in session because the auditor didn't hear him. So therefore, he must be withholding. So therefore, he must be a missed withhold. And if he's a missed withhold, then the thing for him to be is mad at the auditor. Very logical. But you'll find out that that is 100%, just like that, the exact mental response of 100% of your PCs, no matter whether they look nice about it or look happy about it or anything else. That is the response of every PC who sits in front of you. If you want to drive, take the mildest, best, goodest, most educated PC you ever had anything to do with. PC, never really been in session. He sort of socially answers responses, you see, and tries to be nice about the whole thing. And you never really get a bite on each case, and he's always sitting there, very quiet, charming, nice, never makes any changes. You ever see this, PC? PC exists. Take this perfect PC, who never has any changes, and just start this racket on this PC. You have a present time problem. Have you ever had a present time problem in your whole life? Yes, I know, but... Yes, you say, yes, I know, but... Have you ever had a problem in your whole life? When PC answers something, you say, well... But, no, look, listen, no. In your whole life, have you ever had a problem? And the PC said, well, yes, I have appendicitis and so forth. And you say, but, look, I'm talking to you. Have you ever had a problem in your whole life? I want you to tell me now. I get out of my bags. That gave me something. When are you going to tell me? Now, just own up to it. Your problem. And listen, you keep up some kind of a racket like that, you can make it more flagrant than that. And do you know, you think a PC is peculiar who screams. You think this is a certain type of PC. Well, I assure you that that is not a type of PC. That's a type of auditor. Because you can drive that good PC, that perfectly educated PC, you can drive them absolutely into a screaming funk that you have just never heard the like of. You would just never dream that a human being could be that upset. And you can do it to every PC you audit. And when this is done too much to a PC, when it's done at the wrong moments, when processes are also changed on the PC too often, and when the PC is also giving auditing directions which have been accepted, and let's composite the whole thing. We get somebody, all you have to do is look like you haven't received the question, and thereafter the guy will start screaming. Just look like you haven't heard him. You know, be looking at the window when he speaks. You were going to come in right afterwards and say, yeah, all right, thank you. You were going to do that. But you just paused for just a split second. He saw that you were looking at the window. He'd start screaming. God damn you. You ought to go back to the academy. Jesus Christ, whoever the hell told you you were an auditor. For Christ's sake. That's it. In other words, you, the auditor, can create that state of mind. You can create that situation much more easily than baking a birthday cake. I'm not talking now because I myself a few times have been driven into Christ Almighty, you know. I think poor Philip one day, I only did once, he missed 15 or 20. And the next thing you know, he's going like this because I had said a couple of very mean things, which of course I didn't mean. But the guy had just, I'm not always a good PC or a bad PC. But just all of a sudden, the no acknowledgement, the no acceptance of the answer, something like that. And you sit there in amazement. You sit back here, I got a good reality on you. You say, what the hell, you know? You're saying, for Christ's sakes, why don't you get your mind on it, you know? You sit back and look at yourself. Did I say that? No? Was that me? Who was that? Did I hear some noise in here? Because you're in the irresponsibility, of course, of being a PC, and you just react. I did it to a PC. Almost with malice. One time. But actually not on purpose. And that was when I learned exactly what the mechanism of it was. I had to look at exactly what had been going on. And I analyzed it, and then I turned around and I did it again and brought the same response. Now I take another PC and I can start up the same response. Then I analyze any situation where that is occurring and I find the same response. That is it, man. Of course, the PC will go into apathy, go into complete funk. Now, there is an extreme action of questioning the PC's answer. That is the extreme response on the part of the PC to not receiving the PC's answer. Because, of course, the PC thinks he's withholding. And that's the whole mechanism. His replies have been missed. So, therefore, he is a missed withhold. And he gets upset. Just as you'll find missed withholds works on everybody, so this mechanism will upset any PC. But now look. Now, listen to me very carefully. Do we have to produce the extreme state of screaming, of apathy, of making the PC ill, to have it in effect? I mean, is there anything short of the extreme state? Oh, yes. There is a twilight zone of in-session and out-of-session caused by the almost not responded to answer, the occasionally not acknowledged reply by the PC. This sort of thing causes a borderline of not being out of session totally and not being in session, but just being in a condition where all the rest of the rudiments keep going out all the time. Everything is sort of flying out, and you're sort of keeping the PC in session, you know, just just by gripping the table edge with your fingernails, you know. It's just barely keeping the PC in session. What's the answer to it? Don't Q&A. PC says something, acknowledge it. Well, how can you keep from QAnon? Always ask the right auditing question. Of course, that's impossible to bat 1,000 on the right auditing question. So, therefore, make up your mind whether you're occasionally going to accept some nonsense from the PC or drive the PC into an ARC break. And actually, if you ask the wrong auditing question, you are honor-bound to buy the nonsense. But what if the nonsense throws out the end rudiments? Then you worsen the case. They have to get the end rudiments in. Now we've got some kind of a chain reaction going. You ask the wrong auditing question. You cannot directly acknowledge the question because it isn't the kind of answer that you want or is a damaging answer to the PC. So this throws out the end rudiments. Therefore, you have to get the end rudiments in order to get this other rudiment in and so forth. And then you ask the same question again, but of course the PC gives you the wrong response, which throws it. Look at the chain reaction here. And that PC will not be in session. The only thing you can say about that is he won't be in session. He should be half, three quarters out of session. All the time, all the time, all the time. Tone arm action is out and so forth. Then you have to become an absolute expert at putting middle rudiments in. Oh, you even develop systems sometimes to keep your middle rudiments in, and you get very arduous. And it all stems back to the wrong auditing question in the first place, which forces you into a Q&A. You say, do you have a present time problem? He says, yes. You say, well, what about? What's this, you know? So you've already driven it a little bit up the wall. Right? The exact right response is, do you have a present time problem? Yes, thank you. I will check it on the meter. Now, for Christ's sakes, if you will pardon my French, don't ask him this again. Say, if this is where we are going to get with this particular question, we had better ask a question which is far more intelligent. Because there's an old, old datum that comes forward from 1950. And that is, you can ask an auditing question once or twice without re-stimulating the PC. You can always ask any process once or twice. Even three times. But when you get up to three times, you're on the border of... Now you've got to flatten it from there on. Okay. You see what I mean?
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.